This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
I'm wonderful. You know, it's Easter weekend.
Yeah, I know, right?
And oh, yes. I mean, it's going to be a wonderful time for everybody.
It feels like it's snuck up on me.
It's snuck up. Well, you know, Easter just comes once a year. And if you're going to get to the candy, you better get with it.
Oh, my goodness. It seems like the candy is getting bigger and bitter. It seems like they used to have, like, the small eggs. Remember when we were, like, younger, you'd have, like, small candy, and you could hold it in, like, in your palm of your hand and stuff. Now it seems like we've got 1 pound pieces of candy, 1 pound bunnies and 1 pound eggs. And, oh, it just keep bigger and bigger and better and better. Oh.
Well, and you know, the little children had an Easter egg hunt this week. And that was pretty funny. They were told you can only bring 12 eggs. And I said, there's something wrong with this picture. I mean, you always take 20 eggs or 25, you know, a huge amount.
Yeah.
But when they got to school, the teacher had eggs for them. So she gave them another 12 eggs. So they actually ended up with about 25 eggs.
Oh, wow.
So everything worked out. And there was lots of candy in those. They shared the candy with me. I appreciated that. They had some really good chocolates in it.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh. These little chocolate Easter eggs were divine.
Mm.
And so I shared those with them. I was willing to do that.
Yeah, there is such a thing, because you think, oh, they had delicious chocolate. There is such a thing as bad chocolate. So if you get the good kind, then that's a big deal.
And I don't know what brand it was, but let me tell you the height of my week. Now, you know, I've been busy at the office all week. The little kids talk to me from time to time. And they said, Mimi, we're going to have Grandparents' Day, and you come and eat pancakes with us at school.
Oh.
I said, oh, okay, that's wonderful. So let's see, I guess it was on Wednesday. I thought that's the day it was. I get up at 5:30. I take a bath. I mean, I'm dressed. I've got on jewelry. I've got on makeup. I'm ready. I walk in the kitchen at 7 o'clock. I'm ready to go because we have to be there by 7:45. And the little one said, Mimi, it's not today.
Oh.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Oh.
I've been up since 5. You know, you're getting ready. Be sure I can go with him. And he says, Mimi, it's not today.
Oh,
I
no.
go, you've got to be kidding. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, that's happened on Wednesday.
Oh.
So
when was it?
That's one way to get you up and dressed, your makeup on. And be presentable that early in the day.
So when's the real day?
The real day was Thursday. The real day was Thursday. Oh, my gosh,
oh,
yes.
My goodness. So you had to do it again. You had to do it twice.
I had to do it. Yeah, you got to do it twice. The first time, I guess, was just dress rehearsal.
Yeah.
So then the next day, and the lines were long, very, very long. I mean, you know, there's 200 children go to that school. So I don't know how many grandparents showed up, but the line was long.
But were
so
the
pancakes
good?
It was going to take
good?
A lot of time. Oh, yes. They were delicious. And all these volunteers did that.
Wow.
You know. And but now we find out that their school has to have a sprinkler system. It's $120,000.
No, really?
Yes. They said they could not open in the fall if they don't get this installed.
Uh-oh. So what, are they going to have to close to do that, or what
now,
what,
what they're going to have to do is, we all said you need to do fundraisers. Oh, no, the principal doesn't want to do fundraisers. He's just sending out letters and saying, you know, you can do 1,000, you can do 500, you can do 5,000. I thought, I want to see this work. Without prodding people, you know, for the parents, how are you going to get raise all this money?
Yeah.
I just don't understand it.
So that's it. It's just fundraisers, and that's how they're going to do it.
Yeah, he didn't want to do fundraisers. He just sent out a letter. And I thought, can you raise $120,000 off a letter?
I know. I just don't see how that's that going to work.
I don't know how he can do it. I think parents are going to have to go take him by the hand and say, "Sir, you're going to have some lunches and some dinners, and maybe a fashion show to raise money."
I just can't believe there's just that's it. No fundraisers and no more to be said about it.
Yeah, he just sent out a letter, and you know, this is supposed to be it.
Oh, well, good luck with that. Let me know how that goes.
That's what I said. I said, good luck. And you remember we did the story last week on the Kitty Hawk?
Yeah.
Okay. I got some response back.
Really?
This guy from Granbury, Texas, he said his first carrier landing was aboard the Kitty Hawk in November 1968. His last landing after 130 combat missions in Southeast Asia was August 16th, 1969.
Really?
He said, there's nothing like your first carrier deployment, especially in a combat zone.
Wow. I bet that's right. I can't even put myself in that place. I'm trying to imagine what it would be like, and I just, the pride, I think, that would go along with that is
I think the pride. And then another guy from Winsboro said they have booked a trip through the ship canal, you know, where the Kitty Hawk came through. And they were really excited to be going through the canal where the Kitty Hawk came through.
Yeah.
So we got those replies.
Wow.
And now then another guy sent this, said it's heartwarming to know that 95% will be recycled, and that the armor will be incorporated into a new U.S. ship.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we were talking about them going to take it all apart and get rid of it. So a lot of it is going to be reused.
Yeah, that is fantastic. And it's really, really
so
great.
I'm really thankful about that.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, I did. And I didn't even know if anybody, you know, I thought about Texans that might have been on the Kitty Hawk, but I didn't think about, you know, finding out anything about it.
Yeah, I know it. It's really cool when people, you know, give their perspective, especially somebody who's, like, been on it and, like, lived through it and been there. And we should also thank them for their service as well, because
that's exactly right. And that they came home safe.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
That's a big deal.
How cool.
Yeah. So it is cool. So I was really glad about that.
Wow, that's a big week. I'm glad you shared that. That's cool.
Yeah, I thought so, too. Now then, remember we talked about annuities last week and about the bonus on the annuities.
Yeah.
You know, and so I got several people on that. So people were listening last week. They did call and say, you know, tell me more about that annuity and the bonus of 9%. So I sent one lady, one of our clients, all the information on it. The other people came in and did the annuity for the 9% bonus, plus whatever they're going to make every year. And then I explained to them that it's 9% every time you put money in for 7 years. So that bonus will come in handy every year that you are adding to your annuity.
It's still going on, right? It hasn't ended yet.
It's still going on. You know, I told you I didn't know how long it was, and I didn't call the carrier to ask them. But I think it's for 30 days.
Cool. And people actually got
everything in. Everything you put in. So there's some people got in right here at the start. Because remember, we didn't get the notice till the 28th.
Yeah. Yeah, it was late in the month.
So, it was right at the end of the month they told us about that.
Wow. That is fantastic.
And now some other good news.
Jeez.
Last year, the good news just keeps coming.
It does.
We had a lady last year. It was Carolyn Ali, $250,000 policy. And right after we did it, she was so sick, she said, I'm going to rescind. And I told everybody that policy is rescinding. Well, guess what? Hmm. It never went through. We did not know it. And now we're going to be able to give our clients the profit off the Ally policy.
Wow.
How about that?
Well, that's an unexpected surprise.
It's an unexpected gift because we thought, you know, usually when they say we want to rescind, they pay us the money back and we rescind it and we put our clients' money back in their account. Mm-hmm. Well, it never happened. The lady had already spent the money. She couldn't pay us back.
Oh, wow.
So we called the carrier yesterday. There was a deadline. I mean, we didn't know all this for months. And so we called the carrier yesterday. They said, we will not put it in arbitration. We'll save it. Everything's fine. I said, well, it'll take some time to get the death certificate. They said, we will waive the death certificate.
Really?
We've never had this happen in all the years I've been in business. Nobody has ever said, we'll do it without a death certificate.
I didn't even know that was possible.
I didn't know it either.
Wow.
I mean, I was on the phone calling the county of West Virginia where she had died. I called the funeral homes. I was working diligently trying to get a death certificate real fast. And then Flint had called in the meantime while I'm on the phone. He called the insurance carrier because I instructed him to call them and tell them, you know, that we were going to petition for that money. And they said, we will waive the death certificate.
Wow.
So it's our lucky week.
Yeah, really? Jeez.
Yeah. Yeah, so the clients are going to get paid. It's just a marvelous deal.
Wow. This is almost turning into like Good News Saturday with Faye Bagby.
It is. It's Good News with Faye Bagby. Oh, my gosh. But, I mean, I was so glad that because we thought all this time, you know, that she had given us the money back. And then we realized we went back and looked at our notes, and they didn't have the money. They spent it.
Jeez. So
she
couldn't pay
back. Spent the money. She couldn't pay us back. She could not give that money back that we'd given her. And so, sure enough, we're the owners and beneficiaries of that policy.
Wow. And they're going to...
How about that?
They're going to forego their certificate and then...
and pay us.
I'm just kind of... I don't know why. I've never heard of... Because I know you're always like, we got to get this certificate. We got to get this certificate. And that's part of the process. And that's part of one of the major steps. It's one of the milestones of the whole process. And to have them just say, it's all right. I'm just like, wow.
Well, I think it's because it was so confused. I think that's why they're waiting. And, you know, in order to go ahead and get us paid right away.
Wow.
And I'm hoping that they'll pay some interest on this account also.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yes, that's what we're hoping for, is some extra interest on it.
Hmm.
But it's you talk about a fluke. After all this time, you know, the clients are going to make their profit on that thing. And that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah. It's kind of weird. Not only does it go from you thought you were going to have to like rescind the whole policy to now all of a sudden it didn't go through, which was totally unseen. And then they're going to forego the certificate. So, you know, everything gets expedited a little bit faster. And now there's a potential that they may, if you're lucky, even pay some extra interest. It's like that's a 180. That's a total surprise on every level.
Yes, it's such a surprise. We haven't ever had anything that good happen.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of good things happen. But after this many months, you know, to find out that not only did they not put the money back because they didn't have it, it did not rescind. We own the policy, and we're going to get paid, and our clients are going to get paid. What a deal.
And how much is that policy?
$250,000.
Sweet. That's awesome.
$250,000. And there's five people in it.
Wow. That's
These are people that invest with us every month, time and time again. And so they're going to really be excited. And they have not been notified yet.
Well, now they have.
Because all this just happened yesterday. This just happened yesterday. You know, right here Well, I said yes. It was actually Thursday that we were notified of all this good stuff. And we immediately sent a claim to Nevada Trust and said, get this out.
Wow. That is cool. Yes. That's a late-week surprise.
That was a late-week surprise. So if anything else good happens, it'll just be extra.
Wow. We need to start doing this more often.
That's right. Maybe we could have Easter every week or something.
Jeez. And it's like you were, I know you were closed yesterday, so it's a short week. So, you know, I mean, you know, one day less of business, you know, and then to have something like that happen, it's kind of cool. It's kind of neat.
It is kind of cool. So we'll have a lot of happy. We'll have five people that will be very happy to get that profit that they did not know they were going to get, and I did not know it. So things are looking up. Things are looking up. It's a great day when all this can happen.
Wow, that is really, really fantastic, and I'm really, really glad that some people, you know, heard you last week talking about the bonus with annuities, called, got in, and they're, so now they're in the I guess the pipeline, or I don't know how you phrase it, but they're in on it.
That's right, they are in the pipeline to get their policies issued, and they will credit them immediately with that 9%. That's what's so good about it. It's credited right now up front. And so, that $100,000, you get $9,000.
Cool.
Right then.
That's great. And
well,
it is,
I
still,
love that.
It's still happening. So, if other people want to get in on that, they still have time.
They've got time. I think we've got to the end of April, without any problem.
Cool.
So just remember that it's 9% bonus, plus what you make on the policy. So the potential is just pretty good for some pretty good money the next few years.
Yeah.
If it only makes 7 or 8%, plus your 9, you've done real well.
Yeah, you get your profit plus the 9%. The 9% is not your profit. That's extra.
That's extra bonus money every year for 7 years.
Wow.
That's half of the deal because it's only a 10-year policy. So you're getting 9% bonus almost through the end. Do you realize that?
That's cool.
So that's really cool. So I hope several more people will do it. It'd be a good time to do it. Let's say somebody that's getting older and says, well, I don't want to do life settlements anymore. I'm getting too old for that. They could do some annuities, and they'd be just fine.
Generally
speaking. And I'll tell you another thing they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than do indexes in there, you could do fixed rate, which I think the fixed rate's 4-something, plus your 9.
Ooh.
So you would actually make over 12%.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so that's another one. There's so many ways you can do it with an annuity to come out ahead. That's what I love about annuities.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of different ways to turn it this way or that way to make extra money. And this bonus is the first time on this product they've offered it that I know of. And so I think it's really great that, you know, the way the world is, and then they're offering a bonus for right now.
Yeah. And it sounds like annuities have maybe a lot more options than maybe we give them credit for, or maybe we highlight.
They do.
Yeah.
They do have so many options. There's so many ways to do it, and there's about 10 things you can invest in.
Really?
I think 7 to 10, and I always have to scrutinize each thing, say, okay, do we want to do this one, do this one, and put 10% in each one when we can. And that way, you've really spread. You've spread the things you can do out really well. Instead of saying, we're going to put 100% right here. No, we're not going to do that. We're going to divide it out as much as we can. So it gives you a lot of options. Then the next year, you can see what they did, and whichever ones did the best, maybe we want to do it again.
I know we don't.
Or we might want to change it a little.
Yeah, switch things up a little bit. I know we don't really talk about, well, historically we hadn't talked about annuities. We have a lot more lately just because they're such a great option. But when you say there's like 7 to 10 things that people could invest in, for anybody who's never done annuities or never really even thought about it before, what types of 7 to 10 things are we talking about? What would somebody be in at that point?
Okay, there's a Fidelity account. There's a BlackRock account. There's an S&P account. There's a monthly. You can do S&P monthly. You can do S&P annually or every 2 years. The deal I just finished, I did this for a two-year period, which that means it gives you more of an option. In other words, it's not going to just be 12 months. We've got 24 months worth of profit to think about.
Nice.
In other words, we did all these different things, and if the first year didn't do well, then it goes over into that second year, and that gives you those options again to make money.
Mm.
So there's a lot, on a 24-month, there's a lot of options, a lot of things you can do, and I could have added a fixed rate, but I didn't on this first year for these people because I want to see what it'll do.
Hmm. And it's also important to circle around again and highlight the fact that annuities are, they mirror the stock market, but they're not actually in the stock market. So if something was to happen on
Wall
Street.
They're never direct in the stock market, so you don't have the risk.
Yeah.
That's what's great about this. If the stock market makes a profit, we make a profit. If it doesn't, ours sets still. It doesn't go down. It just sets there.
Mm-hmm.
Just sets right where you left it. So that's the good thing about annuities. Annuities don't go directly in the stock market, so you can't have a loss.
Your principal is always protected.
If we were in the stock market, you could have your principal's safe. And it mirrors the stock market, but it never gets involved in the stock market. So that's what makes it whole. And so people that are in the stock market, if they do annuities, they could do just as much or a lot better without the risk.
Are there certain types of people that do better or feel better, or maybe an annuity is more suitable for certain types of investors as opposed to like a life settlement?
Yes. There are certain people that I would say they need to be in annuities. And this is the people who usually do CDs at the bank that are very conservative. That class of people should be in annuities. Because you always know your principal's safe. You don't have to get up at night. You don't have to worry about it. And you're not paying those brokers all those fees, which I know they have to make a living, and I agree to that. But this saves you a lot of money and a lot of fees. So that's why it's a much better situation.
And you don't have to get up in the middle of the night and check your portfolio to see if you have anything left.
That's right, to see if there is anything left. And lots of times, it's down 50% or 75%, and then you're not going to go back to sleep. You're going to worry about it all night.
Yeah.
So this takes the worry out. Your blood pressure will be less. You're going to be happier. Your wife will be happier. When you're not losing money in the stock market, your wife is definitely a happier camper.
Yeah, otherwise, you got some splaining to do.
That's right, again and again and again. You know, it's not the first time they rat you out. It's that second and third time.
Oh, yeah. That's when you start sleeping on the couch.
That's right, because they've been telling you and telling you, get out of the stock market. You're making bad decisions. Why are you making bad decisions?
Yeah.
So, you know, you've got to be conservative right now, I think. I think everybody should be conservative.
When people finally do reach that limit and they're saying, you know, she's right, we do need to get out of the stock market. And so they come over and they talk to you and they're looking for something a little more conservative. What kinds of feedback do people say? Do they say, you know, it's unstable, we're worried about what might happen in the future, or we're concerned about what's happened in the past, we haven't made what we thought we had, or what types of things do you hear from people when they make that switch?
They say our portfolio is down. We want to get out before we lose any more money.
Hmm.
Exactly what they say.
Yeah. Wow. It's almost like a script, like word for word every time.
And think about this. The McConnell policy came in this week. Several people had 100,000 and another 100,000. They had two accounts. So those people are getting back 128,000 on one account, 128,000 on the other. Then their Pincus policy came in, and they're in Pincus for another 100,000.
Oh, wow.
So there was people that got over 300,000 this week in their account.
Good Lord. That's a lot in 1 week.
Don't you remember, McConnell was a $4 million policy. And out of that, you know, people, they had like an IRA, a Roth, or they had a joint account with their wife. You know, there was just several different ones that they had. So, you know, they got money two different ways, which is really great. Mm. So that worked out very well. And I was looking at it, and I've got one client that lives down the road down there in a little bitty town, and he's getting $200,000.
Really?
And he needed it. He hadn't had a maturity in a while, and so he was getting kind of worried, and so he got $200,000. So there's a lot of people got a lot of money because, remember, the two of them together, it's $5 million.
Wow, that's huge.
So,
that's...
It is huge. So a lot of people got a lot of money this week. They've got a lot of money in their account. And they can certainly reinvest now and make more money.
The gentleman that had that hadn't had a maturity in a while, did he by any chance call and say, "Faye, I hadn't had any maturities in a while"? Because it usually seems like when they do, something matures and they get paid.
Well, what he did is called and said, "Thank you, thank you."
Ah, there you go.
I had a lot of people say thank you this week. Yes. I had a lot of people say, thank you. We appreciate it. And usually, our customers, you know, are the nicest people in the world, most of them.
Yeah.
I have to say most.
Don't name names.
We got three or four old cranks. Yeah, we got a few crankies. But they always are very polite. They send us an email and say thank you when we tell them they have a maturity.
That's nice.
They always say thank you.
And it's really great.
So they're just that kind of people.
Yeah.
If we lived in a state like California, we wouldn't even get a thank you.
Or New Jersey.
Or New Jersey. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
You know, in that last last policy, I didn't tell anybody. It was in New Jersey, by the way.
Was it really?
That's why it took so long to get that dadgum policy. People in New Jersey are just different.
Yeah, they are.
And,
that's a
know,
nice way to put it.
West Virginia, you might not want any policies in West Virginia.
Oh, Lord.
I was talking to a county clerk out in West Virginia this week. And he told me he wasn't going to send me a death certificate.
Really?
And, I mean, they never do that. Usually they're very nice, and they'll get me that death certificate right away. And I said, why is that? He said, I don't see you on the death certificate. Mm-hmm. I said, no, we're not on the death certificate, but we own the policy. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I said, okay, that's your final word. You're not going to do it. I said, well, we'll just have our attorney call you. I think you'll change your mind. That's what I said.
Did he change his mind, or are we still going through with the attorney phone call?
Well, we're going to have our attorneys call him and straighten him out.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
This is West Virginia?
Yes, because you can't refuse. If we have the credentials, they cannot refuse to give us a death certificate.
Is this one of those silly little games that people play sometimes for some unknown reason?
I think so, because most people, you know, about a month ago, I called out Kentucky. Kentucky's the nicest people in the whole wide world other than Texas. I called this county clerk. Oh, yeah. Where do you want it sent? And she said, we'll get it out tomorrow. Oh. And they did. They never sent me anything else. We just got it in the mail.
Wow. That was nice.
Yeah,
and smooth.
No, it was nice. It was smooth. I said, man, if everything was in Kentucky, we could get them overnight.
Yeah.
That's virtually what they did.
Wow.
They looked it up, said, sure. I gave them our FedEx number, and they sent it right out. And, you know, in Texas, remember last summer when nobody could get those two death certificates?
Yeah.
I got them both within 2 days. And then this week, or no, last week, when everybody needed the one in Victoria, Texas, I found the wife. And she said, I've been wondering and wondering why nobody contacted me. She said, I've been trying to give them the death certificate. And I said, really? Yes. She said, give me your address. I'll send it out today. And she did.
Wow. That's great.
Yes. She was such a nice lady. And she said she kept wondering why nobody had contacted her.
Mm-hmm.
And because she was... he didn't die in Victoria, even though they lived in Victoria. He died in a hospital in Houston. He was in there for months.
Mm.
And so nobody would have known where to get the death certificate because he didn't die in Victoria.
Wow. And she sent it right out.
Sent it right out. And she also told me that the people who were checking on her husband didn't speak good English.
Mm.
And I think they were using a service out of India.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So I got on to him about that. I said, you know, when you check on these people, see if they're alive, they need to be able to communicate.
Yeah. Jeez.
Yes.
Yeah, they don't do that.
But, you know, we're changing all that out. That company's gone. They don't know it yet. But this other company's taking over that. And it's going to be, I'm going to say, smooth sailing.
That's probably a lie. Wow. That's going to be an adventure.
It's in my head. My head says it's going to be smooth sailing.
You're declaring and prophesizing.
I am. I'm prophesizing this will be a wonderful relationship. I'm also prophesying that with our new accounting system, and we're almost there. I keep saying that, but we are. As soon as we get that online, I'm going to try to change it where instead of everybody paying 3 months in arrears and me paying all their premiums every quarter before they pay me, I'm going to try to get it up where they're paying it and I'm not paying it first.
Oh, that'd
be cool.
Be
a blessing?
It'd
be a blessing.
Let me tell you. Yeah.
Wow. Because when they tell me I owe $120,000, we've got to pay it. That's your premium we're paying.
So,
and we're paying it up front.
So you pay them, and then investors pay you back, essentially.
That's exactly right. Then they, 3 months later, they pay. And they're good about paying. I mean, gosh, they come to the office, write checks. Or a lot of them just have us take it out of their accounts. And all they have to do is send a note saying, you know, take this out of my account. And Philip and them will take it out of their accounts and pay it. I saw a premium the other day from one of my good customers for $23. I'm shocked.
$23.
Yeah, most of them are a lot bigger than that. And then we have this one little group that hadn't been paying their premiums.
Uh-oh.
And I've been fronting that for them. And it's only a few. But they're going to have to pay up. You can't let all of us pay your premiums for you.
Uh-oh.
It's not fair.
Yeah, no. Then you get too far behind, and then who knows what happens? That's always trouble.
You know what happens.
I didn't want to say it. It's just trouble.
Oh, okay. Trouble coming up the backstretch.
Uh-oh, here comes Faye.
Faye right on your trail.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
And I just realized I meant to ask you at the beginning about the Easter Bunny, because in past years you talked about how you got the Easter Bunny to come to the house for the children. Is that happening this year, or are we past?
Yes, the Easter Bunny has always come to my house. He's big, he's white, he's got big feet, but he does come.
Yeah, okay.
And he hunts eggs with the kids. Does all kinds of neat things. And so we do love the Easter Bunny, yes.
All right.
But we love the candy and his eggs better.
That's just the price you got to pay to get the candy.
That's right. That's what we have to do. We've got to hunt eggs for 4 hours. Then we get all the candy brought in the house.
Oh, Lord. 4 hours. Wow.
Yes. But we got to hide them 3 or 4 times.
Oh, yeah.
But Lucas said this. He said, let's don't hide them down at the barn with the llamas anymore. it's too hard to find them. Somebody was going down to the barn putting them in the hay.
Oh, no.
And they had to go all the way to the barn to find those extra eggs. So he says, please don't do that.
Wow.
I want you to know, my flag has been in tatters. It's faded. It looks bad. I ordered a new flag.
Oh.
Instead of getting the same size, my new flag is 6 foot by 8 foot.
Wow.
Do you think anybody can see that sucker?
No. Huh.
And I needed a new ball on top. So I was shopping and shopping, and I thought I needed a 10-inch ball. And I talked to some people, and they said, no, you do not. This guy said, I've been doing this for 30 years, ma'am. On a 25-foot pole, you only need a 5 or 6-inch. He said, in fact, I don't even have a 10-inch. I said, okay, I'll take the 6-inch. I got it, and it's like 20-something inches. I never saw this big a ball in all my life. And you know how we have to get all this up because they messed up the rope.
Yeah.
We have to call Signorama. They come out with a big truck with the lift with the two guys in it, and they put all this up. Can you imagine that's what we have to do?
Oh, my word.
We use a sign company to get it back up on the pole. Nothing is ever easy.
You don't do
it's
anything small.
It's not easy
small.
Around here.
Wow.
Nothing small. And the kids said, do it on a day when we're off because we want to watch.
Yeah, I don't blame them. I would want to watch that too.
Yeah, everybody wants to see this. Well, the Bagby home is just a little different than everybody else.
Clearly.
As you know.
You need to either have a reality show or have some cameras like strategically placed and that just record 24/7 and then put it all together later because it's entertaining to say
the least. Well, we could do that. It'd be pretty funny, wouldn't it?
It would. It would
be
hilarious.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm probably pushing my luck here, but what about the zip line?
Oh, my gosh. Everybody's asking about the zip line. I can't get anybody to come out and do the zip line that's qualified. I even asked the sign company if they could do it. Their auger only goes down 2 feet.
Really?
I need somebody that's got an auger that's going to go like 4 foot.
Oh.
Remember, you have to have like 14 foot in the air.
Yeah.
In addition to about 4 or 5 foot in the ground.
Jeez. And so to be that far up, you have to have, it's kind of like a building. You got to have a pretty good footing in order to go that far.
You got to have a good footing. And then remember, it starts high and then goes down and then back up.
Yeah.
Is the way that zip line does. And the weight of the children and their height has something to do with it. If they're 5 foot tall, and ours are probably not 5 yet, foot, it has to be 16 foot to start and then come on down to the ground.
Well, you may need to refigure the calculations because by the time it's done, they're going to be a lot bigger than what they are now.
The kids will be grown. Time Mimi gets this done for them. This is horrible. Everybody's asking me about my zip line. I'm just having so much trouble.
Wow. It's become almost like the whole definition of everything you got going on is how's the zip line?
I know. Everybody wants to know about the zip line. And I'm doing my best. It's just my best. And I'm usually pretty good at solving problems.
Yeah.
But this has been one that's just been over my head because nobody's qualified, you know?
It's not your fault.
I did have one company came and bid it for $16,000.
Jeez.
And while I'm falling out on the ground, I'm saying no. I'm laying there going, no, 16,000. I couldn't afford that.
Then you had somebody, somebody come out and bid it, and they were ready to move forward, and then they just didn't show up?
They bid it, $2,500. We could afford it. It was wonderful. And they never showed up, and they've never returned our call. Maybe after they got home, they said, we really can't do this. And, they should have just... called me back and said, we've thought about it. We can't do it.
Yeah, that'd have been the nice thing. But they just didn't show up. They ghosted you.
They just didn't show.
Yikes. All right. Well, we should probably get into trivia. So what is our topic this morning?
Well, Easter, naturally.
Of course.
I mean, what else would we do besides Easter? Okay, let's talk about it. This is Resurrection Sunday. Mm-hmm. Christians around the world will be celebrating Christ, and they will have sunrise services. Prestonwood, which I talk about them every once in a while, is having 17 services.
17?
17.
Whoa. I didn't realize that many.
And, you know, it has been Holy Week. We've also had Palm Sunday last Sunday. So everything is coming up to this Sunday, which is such a special, special occasion to remembering that Christ arose on Easter Sunday. Mm-hmm. And Christians around the world celebrate it different. You know, a lot of people, well, there's just so many different religions. And, you know, all the religions celebrate it some differently than we do. But everything started, as you know, in Europe. Everything comes to the United States after everything else is done. So years and years ago, you know, first century, it goes back that far before anybody even thought about, you know, America.
Yeah.
And so in Germany, all these different places, you know, it was a lot different in Latin and Greek. It's still called Pascha Greek.
Ooh.
And it's from the Aramaic word Pascha. And the Hebrews, and of course, it's different in every country, but it's the same thing. The Jewish Passover ritual and the Corinthian Christians were the first to hear Exodus speaking about it and telling about it and about the Jewish Passover rituals. So in all languages, German, Greek, whatever it is, everybody celebrates it in a different way. And of course, in America, you know, it's all leading up to Sunday. And there will be more churches filled on Sunday other than Easter for all time.
Yeah. I would imagine it's probably the biggest Sunday probably of all year for just about everybody.
It is. And people who have not been all year, they're going to come on Sunday. It's that important for all Christians, and even non-Christians may show up at church. We don't know, but I know everybody that I know wants to be there, you know, during this. And, of course, the Easter eggs, a lot of people don't remember this, is a symbol of the empty tomb.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes, the Easter eggs is a symbol of the empty tomb. In Europe, they dye their eggs red for the blood of Jesus.
I didn't know that either. Oh, wow.
Yes. Yeah. They manufactured their first Easter eggs in 1875.
Hmm.
And that was Cadbury.
Oh, those
yeah,
are delicious.
Yeah, naturally.
Oh.
And the Easter egg hunt in England takes place in over 250 national trusts located, and on Easter Monday, as you know, here in the United States, there will be an Easter egg roll for children at the White House. That's another tradition that we have.
Forgot about that, too.
Okay, and then the Easter bunny. Did you know the Easter rabbit? It was called the Easter hare, H-A-R-E, and it originated among the Germans, the Lutherans. He played the role of a judge. He evaluated whether the children were good or evil, or if they'd been disobedient or in their behavior.
Oh, wow.
And it was similar to naughty or nice.
Kind of like Santa.
And this is part of the legend. The creature carries colored eggs in a basket, and he would, and sometimes toys, and he would go to the homes of all the little children. And it was the custom was first mentioned way back in 1682, a German wrote this, that the Easter hare was bringing eggs for the children. And it was also, the hare was a popular motif in medieval church art. Can you believe that?
Really?
The hare, yeah, the churches had pictures of the hare in their churches. Huh. And it was said he could reproduce without loss of his virginity.
Huh.
And he was in illuminated manuscripts, Northern European paintings of the Virgin and Christ Child. And he's been associated with the Holy Trinity.
I guess I didn't realize there was so many close relationships symbolically between Easter and Christmas. I didn't.
Yes, and eggs became a symbol in Christianity associated with rebirth as early as the first century A.D.
Wow.
And Easter specifically in medieval Europe. And they were eating them, and then it was prohibited during the fast of Lent. You couldn't eat eggs during Lent.
Really?
And then in England at the time, it was popular for children to go to door to door. They would beg for eggs on the Saturday before Lent.
Hmm.
And as I said, Latin and German Protestants retained the custom of eating colored eggs for Easter. And it says they did not continue the tradition of fasting. Now, I don't understand that because every religion fasts, in the weeks before the resurrection.
Yeah. Wow. Huh. I guess I know that it's a very religious holiday across the world, like for everybody all over the place, but I didn't realize, I guess, how deep it went and how much of a... I always thought, I guess, like the Easter Bunny was just... It was just...
You thought it was just a myth.
Yeah, it was just a thing. And
you didn't think it meant anything. It was just a fun deal.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize it was such a not a story, but a not a legend, but so much meaning to it. I didn't realize. I'm
That's
kind
right.
Of shocked.
And it was part of our religion, but we didn't know it. And the idea of an egg-giving hare went to the U.S. in the 18th century. And the Protestant German immigrants in Pennsylvania Dutch were told their children about the hare. Not a rabbit, but a hare. And that came from Northwest European folklore.
Huh.
And the Easter Bunny is a hare, H-A-R-E. So that's how all that came about. And
wow.
It is part of the religion.
It's so interesting.
Of course, Americans will change all that, you know.
We always do. But it's interesting how things start and then how they change over the years and how, you know, the traditions change and the names change. And it just kind of gets morphed into something, you know, completely different. You know, you look at the Easter Bunny now and you think it's just this bunny that shows up and hands out eggs and it's a good time for all. And you don't realize that, you know, geez, there's a whole lot. There's a whole lot behind, you know, how we got to this place, to where we are now with the Easter Bunny. It's just kind of, I know
yeah.
We talk about like with Santa Claus and things like that, but it's, I guess I didn't know the same thing existed with the Easter Bunny. Hmm.
Yeah, and eggs became a symbol in Christianity associated with the rebirth as early as the first century.
And I didn't know that the eggs represented the empty tomb. I had no idea.
Yes.
Wow.
And so it is part of our religion. Everybody thinks it's just a fun deal.
Yeah.
But it is actually part of the empty tomb. Who would have thought about that?
Boy, that'll make you stop and think. Jeez.
It will. So all of this is part of Christianity, even though a lot of us didn't even know it.
Wow.
You know, didn't know that all this goes back to that, not just a fun deal.
Yeah. Jeez. Have you ever seen either in person or in pictures Jesus's tomb?
Yes, I have.
Hmm. I've
seen a lot of pictures of it.
Yeah, yeah. I hadn't seen it either, but it's like most of what shows it in my TikTok feed now, and so I was just I stop and watch it every time because it's so.
Well, yes,
yeah.
It shows the rock being removed.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
Jeez. And that the tomb was empty when they went there. And they were all amazed and scared.
Yeah. Wow.
Because they couldn't understand how that rock got moved. And then that he was not there and the shroud was all that was left.
Mm-hmm. they not, and it's been several years and several states ago when we lived, but on Good Friday, there was this one church that we would go by on the way home from work, and they would always on Good Friday have three crosses out in the front yard by the road, and they would have three people like up there, like actual, I don't want to say like, I mean, like actors.
Like actors portraying it,
yeah. Yeah, and it was, it just seems so weird because every Good Friday when we would go by, it seems like it was always cloudy and cold and kind of rainy, which added to the whole, the message behind it. But it was very moving just to see that, especially when you don't expect it. You drive up on that and you see that, it's like, whoa.
Well, and you know, most churches have a cross as a reminder. That's a reminder to all of us that he died on the cross and then was risen on the third day.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody has to always remember that. And some crosses are really fancy, and then a lot of them are the old crosses, you know?
Oh, yeah.
The old wood crosses that look really old and bad.
Yeah.
But like you say, a lot of churches have the three crosses, and a lot of them just have the one.
Mm-hmm.
And they forget about the two guys, one on each side.
Yeah, yeah. And it's so strange because right now, in a biblical sense, we're still, you know, because today, yesterday would have been Good Friday, and then today is Saturday, and then tomorrow Sunday, we're kind of right in the middle of what would have been like the mourning period. You know, like everything is kind of yeah, dark and you know. Doom and things like that, and then tomorrow it's like when everything, you know, the celebration really kind of happens. So it's
that's right, and they that's what I like about Easter morning service, that early morning, because that's when this happened.
Yeah,
you know, it was early in the morning when they went there to see if he I guess to pray at the tomb, and that's when they got scared when they went there and the rock had been rolled away.
Mm-hmm.
And he was not there. So, you know, all that is portrayed, and it's a reminder to all of us, you know, that that's exactly how it happened, and he ascended into heaven.
Yeah. So while people are out, you know, having their Easter dinners and having fun and Easter egg hunting, and which is perfectly fine, and we should all, you know, go out and celebrate and do, you know, the things we do, it is always good to kind of go back and remember. And it's fascinating when you bring up those things that I don't, maybe I'm the only one that didn't know half of these things, but it's quite fascinating to learn these things about the symbolism and things behind it. So quite fascinating.
And it is fascinating if you go back and think about everything that happened and how it happened. And all of us, you know, that's why everybody goes to church on Easter Sunday, you know, to celebrate the resurrection at the end of everything, the Holy Week, everything that happened.
Yeah. They've got sunrise services, regular services, extra services. And so, yeah, it really is. And it's hard to find an Easter service that isn't usually packed.
If not packed, that preacher isn't doing his job. I mean, he's not preaching good sermons. You know, like I tell everybody, go somewhere where the sermon is dynamic and you're learning something.
Yeah.
You know, the person is knowledgeable. That preacher really knows his Bible, and that's where you ought to be.
Yeah, yeah. And then after you go to church, and then everybody goes to Easter lunch or brunch or
dinner. That's right.
Dinner,
that's and you'll have every relative you know at Easter brunch.
yeah, you will.
I mean, that's just the way it is. And if you don't, there's something wrong, because Easter is such a celebration. Everybody wants all their family there. They want a big lunch. The Easter bunny's coming. If he doesn't, somebody else will do it. And the eggs will be so many eggs you can't count them.
Yeah, yeah. And the chocolate, and hopefully it won't be so hot that it melts.
That's so. Right. And that there will be lots of chocolate.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you've got to say that. You don't want just a little bit.
No, no, that's just
a
tease. You've got to have big chocolates. The more, the better.
Can you imagine that, I was just thinking again about this, that the Easter Bunny, the hare, as they called him, they put him in all these churches in their windows. I mean, it's part of their art.
Yeah. If I've seen it, I haven't paid attention to it or realized what I was actually looking at. I don't even remember seeing it all in any kind of like art representations or drawings or anything like that. It just completely off my radar, I guess. So I'm going to have to pay more attention.
Well, I saw a picture of a hare from 1907 in Germany, and there was that big rabbit, and he had all this stuff over his shoulder.
Wow.
And they called him a hare. He was Easter Bunny, but he's really a hare over there in all these other places.
Wow. It's kind of weird to think that he had such a bit of a different meaning behind it, and a different role, I guess, than what we know now. It's neat.
And they talked about him even in the 1874s in Germany.
That's a long way back.
I mean, it's so long back, I just can't imagine.
Yeah, me either. Well, happy Easter to you and your family,
happy
and hopefully
Easter.
Everybody has a wonderful gathering and everybody's safe and they was all dressed up in their pretty Easter outfits, and I hope tomorrow ends up being a wonderful day for you and everyone. So,
thank you. The same to you and your family.
Thank you so much. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
I think we pretty much covered most of the annuity process. I don't know that we covered anything to do with any potential risks with an annuity or qualifications. So we should probably throw that out real quick.
We should do that. Well, you must be qualified. And in order to be qualified, you must make either $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million without your house. So, and a lot of people say, why do you have to be? That's a government regulation. It's not phase regulation. Our minimum investment, of course, is $100,000. The risk associated with this investment is if it goes over, you have to pay premiums. Some of the older policies had premiums that came due. The newer policies, most of them are coming due without having to pay any premiums. But that is a risk, and you need to know that's a risk, and that's why you must be accredited to stand that risk. The second risk is, remember, it is not liquid until it matures. So until it matures, it is not liquid, and you cannot take the money and play with it or buy a new pickup until it comes in.
Nice.
Oh,
all right, so I know you were closed yesterday for the Good Friday holiday, but next week it's back to a regular schedule. So I assume you've got some availability to talk to people if they want to come over and chit-chat about stuff, right?
Yes. We will be open for business starting Monday. We'll be doing life settlements. We'll be doing a lot of annuities, just all kinds of things. And hopefully we'll have more maturities.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm sure next week you'll have some more good news for us. Hopefully next Saturday you'll start with the kind of good news you had today. That was all.
That's right. If I can have good news every week, what a blessing it would be.
I know it. Wouldn't it be great? Wow. All right, Faye, one last time. What is your phone number?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby, sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold. This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.